welcome to another edition of the Narrative First Podcast, the weekly podcast where story is always king. I'm your host, Jim Hull, the voice of Narrative First, and this is episode 55, How to Outline Your Story with the Plot Sequence Report. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another week of story structure and story analysis. Rounding down the season here, for those of you who don't know, my preferred season for Narrative First is the first week of March through Thanksgiving. It's about 40 weeks. I started this back in 2010. That was the first year that I just sat down and was like, okay, I'm going to go through this entire thing and just nonstop every week write a new article. And it was a way for me to keep entertained, well, at least sane, while I was working on some films that perhaps I was not as inspired on as I had been the year prior. The year prior being How to Train Your Dragon, and I'm not really sure what film I was working on in 2010, but it actually all started with, and I'll leave a link to it, there's a nice 35-page forum discussion in the Done Deal Pros forum, which I think I might have mentioned before, where I just went in there, and it's a bunch of professional screenwriters, and I laid down the bomb that Rick was not the protagonist of Casablanca. And that like flipped everybody out. They couldn't believe that. That was unheard of, unimaginable. And just because I brought up Casablanca, I should also mention that Fathom Events, I believe it's fathomevents.com. I'll leave a link. They're having every month they do a classic film where you can go watch it in the cinema. And Casablanca is the film for November. So I'll be checking it out. So maybe in a theater near you, you can go see it up on the big screen, which I think will be pretty exciting. But to get back to the forum discussion, I had mentioned that, you know, Rick wasn't the protagonist and that Victor Laszlo was the actual protagonist of Casablanca. And for those of you who understand the difference between the overall story through line and the main character through line, that'll make complete sense because, you know, the objective character function of protagonist is somebody who's pursuing and considering, and Rick doesn't do hardly any pursuing nor considering. If anything, he does a lot of preventing. Is he the antagonist? No, the German general is the antagonist. I forget what Rick is. Maybe Rick's contagonist. Hinder and temptation. He certainly isn't a helpful person, but he's definitely not the protagonist. So I mentioned that, and then that went a 35-page forum discussion of how insane I am and how would anybody in their right mind ever use Dramatica to craft a story. And it's very entertaining. So I will leave a link to that. Oh, let me get back to the original reason why. So the preferred schedule was to do first week of March through Thanksgiving. This year I had the move, but I started earlier. I think I started in February because I was so inspired from Sundance. So I'm not sure if I hit 40 articles this year, but I know it was definitely more than I have been in the previous years. And I like the idea of seasons because it gives me a chance to recuperate, and pretty much everybody shuts down from Thanksgiving to New Year's, which is not really great when you're running your own business. But what I like to do is it gives me a chance to develop other projects that go along with Narrative First. One is something that I've been working on in the past month that I'm super excited about. Something that I've been using with my own consulting that I absolutely love and can't wait to share with everybody. And also, I like to put a book together of the previous year's articles. And this year, I have an idea. I'm not sure if I'm going to have time, but I've always wanted to do this. Chris mentioned to me way back when that the story form for Dickens' Christmas Carol actually is not possible. So let me just see here. Let's see. So if you set the influence character, progress, past, yeah, there's absolutely no way you can do it. Wait a second. Put your story form. Okay. Okay, so if you open up Dramatica, I'm sure everybody knows Christmas Carol, right? So if you open up Dramatica and you pick the influence character and you pick progress as the first signpost, this is the very first thing you pick. And it narrows it down from 32,767 story forms to 928. So just putting the influence character first signpost in progress, which would be Jacob Marley, right? And so you put him in the first signpost, and obviously it just goes past, present, future, right? And it ends on future for the last signpost. Well, if you put progress as the first signpost, it's impossible to do future as the last signpost. If you put in past, it goes progress, past, future, present. So really, Dickens got it wrong when he wrote Christmas Carol. And I think Chris mentioned, if you think about it, the argument feels kind of pat, like it's just like, it's just very blatant and just kind of in your face and not very convincing why Scrooge changes. And so what I would like to do is I'm going to rewrite Dickens' Christmas Carol using Dramatica. And I think that'll be really fun. And what it's going to be is it's going to be the Christmas special. And I'm going to do it Doctor Who style, where there's a Christmas episode. So the podcast will, the season ends Thanksgiving, and then there'll be a couple weeks where there'll be best of stuff. And then somewhere in the third or fourth week of December, I'll have a Christmas episode where I will actually tell you the story of A Christmas Carol, but done properly through Dramatica. Oh, this is interesting too. It forced it into psychology? What? Why did it do that? That's amazing. Hold on a second. If I take out the past, the domain can be anything. Oh, that's weird. The only way it can be physics. Oh, bizarre. Wait a second. The past can't be the second one because clearly he's a start character, right? We've established that. For growth, it's always like the example for Christmas Carol, or, you know, the difference between a main character growth of stop and a main character growth of start. The stop is chip on the shoulder. Start is the hole in the heart. So that's the character arc. For those new to Dramatica, the main character arc, like the arc of your character in your story, has two definite story points. One is a particle and one is a waveform. So the resolve is the change steadfastness, and that's comparing the beginning to the end. Like, look at the end. Do they have the same point of view? Are they maintaining the same approach, or have they completely changed and altered their resolve? That's the particle. So it's either on or off, one way, one or zero, comparing beginning to end. The waveform part of it, the part that grows over time, is the growth, and that's either moving away from something or moving towards something. And the stop one is usually, that's the easiest one because a lot of Western culture films or stories are all stop stories. In fact, I think the leading box office is for stop characters, not so much start characters. And so the start, the example we always use is Scrooge, because it's not so much the stuff that he's doing that's causing problems, it's what he's not doing. And, you know, it's the lack of what he's doing that's causing problems. He's not stepping up to the plate. And then, of course, that's why the Scrooged film, the Bill Murray film, kind of screws that up, because they turn him into a dick. They make him a stop character, and that screws up the story for him. So here, if I just did progress as the first signpost, and I put physics, which would force start, when you look at the domains of Dramatica, you have the external domains of universe and physics at the top, and then mind and psychology on the bottom. So that's divided so that the external domains are on the top, universe and physics, and then the internal domains, psychology and mind, are on the bottom. When you have an overall story and a main character perspective, so the overall story through line perspective and the main character through line perspective, when you have those in horizontal alignment, that's a stop dynamic. So, you know, it's like as if the main character's issues are really close to the overall story's issues, and so it's like you have to get away from that. So that's where that stop comes from. If they're in a vertical alignment, for instance, like in this example where Scrooge is in a mind, a through line perspective, and the overall story is in a physics perspective, then that gives you the start character that you're looking for, because it's kind of, it's the difference between internal and external. That's how far they have to go to get to resolve their issues. So here, if you force physics, that actually makes the second signpost future, and then you have past or present. I guess if you did present, then you would end with past. Very bizarre. Okay, so this is going to be a lot more fun than I thought it would be, because there's no way he's a stop character. And, well, I guess you could change the first signpost. If he's mind, and then this is always fun. This is fun with Dramatica. And then you put the signpost in past? No. Oh, if you put the second one in past, what would that do? Past, you still can't do present. That's bizarre. I guess you could say future? Past, progress, present? Oh, it's really weird. All right, well, I'll have to figure out what story form that is, because the idea was that originally you know, you have past, present, future for the ghosts. So that would be signpost 2, 3, and 4, respectively. And then signpost 1 would be progress, like Jacob Marley. Like, if you keep down this path, you're going to end up like me. But if you pick progress, that forces the future. And then, well, I guess it has to be a triumph, right? You pick success, it automatically picks good. And then we're down to 64, and the problem can be anything. I'm pretty sure it's innermost desires. And I had a feeling that his issue was denial, conscience, and hinder. Okay, so if he's hinder, help, conscience, temptation, closure. Oh, unique ability, closure. That's good, because he's the one with all the money. Critical flaw, preconception, benchmark, preconscious. This feels good, and I'll just look at the signposts. So it's reverse order, future, present, past. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually take the text of Christmas Carol and rework it so that it actually goes in the right order, the correct dramatica order, and, you know, bridge any gaps with any kind of stuff here. I've always wanted to do this, and I think this year it'll be perfect because I'm going to start this Christmas special, this holiday special idea. So if you want to look at the story form that I came up with here, if you're following along at home, it's changed start. Change is the main character resolve. Start is the main character growth. Beer is the main character approach. Problem solving style is linear or male. Driver is action driver. Limit option lock, success good. And then physics, obtaining, attitude, and hinder. I actually think that's right. So then the obstacle character universe, the future, preconception, avoidance. Whoa, this might actually be it. This feels really, really good. Psychology, becoming, I'm looking at the relationship, reconsider, whoa, and then consider. I actually think this is it. I'm going to save this. That's crazy. And I got all that, for those of you who are wondering how that was, how I was able to get that so quickly, was because I had a feeling innermost desires or subconscious was where Scrooge was dealing with everything. And then out of those issues, I felt like denial versus closure, with denial being the problem, and then preconception, because I think openness, yeah, see, this makes the influence character unique ability openness, because they're trying to get him to be more open to things. I think this is actually really, really strong. So then the signpost order will be, so you'll start with Jacob Marley, and then you have the ghost of Christmas future, okay? And then the ghost of Christmas present and the ghost of Christmas past. I bet that tells a much better story. Excellent. Well, I had no idea I was going to be starting off the podcast talking about A Christmas Carol. But I did, and it was just really, that was great. Hope you got something out of that. Next up, I want to talk about, on Discuss Dramatica this week, there's a new post about the different characteristics, which I guess people have been doing this off on the sly, you know, doing this on their own, and I just thought this was a really great way to learn Dramatica, the different elements, because after about 2 decades now, I kind of take it for granted what each element means. And because I've seen so many different story forms, hundreds and hundreds of story forms, and, you know, been to all the user group meetings, and I have a better understanding of what each of the different elements mean, I forget that people new to the theory have trouble connecting them to actual characters, like how they actually play out. And in fact, when I do story consulting, I usually avoid the character window, those character elements where you can drag and drop avatars onto the different elements, because to me, that's always the easiest part. You know, I kind of leave that up to my own imagination and to the people that I work with. They already have a pretty good idea of who their characters are. And unless there's some kind of deficiency in the storytelling, I just kind of avoid it. But I can understand from 2 points. One, for people who want to develop their characters, and also to develop a better understanding of what the elements mean. What I did is I went through the four different areas, the motivations, the methodologies, the evaluations, and the purposes. And just kind of drew visual diagrams of how the different elements worked with each other. And that's how I was able to come to a better understanding of what each of them were and what they were referring to. But this way, which is a post called Additional Examples of Characteristics, people are actually went through and attributed elements to specific character, I guess, tropes. A tripe is an archetypal trope. So for instance, an introvert might have an element of inaction because they don't want to get involved. So if you don't understand how inaction works, think of an introvert. Or expectation for a villain, somebody who puts his plans into effect, confident that they are strong enough. So that one's cool, but again, it's all of these are subjective, so they might not necessarily work for you, and it isn't the only way. It doesn't mean like every villainous character you have has to be driven by expectation, and every introvert doesn't have to be driven by inaction. You could definitely think of an introvert being defined or driven by protection, the opposite element, where it's like, I don't want anybody to know anything that I'm feeling, and that's why I'm remaining introverted. So the caveat to looking at these different characteristics is the reality that there is no objective reality to how these elements apply to different characters. It's up to the individual writer to attribute these different forces of the story mind to how they see how characters play out in their narratives. But it's a great jumping off point if you're new to the theory and you don't quite understand different elements. I thought, yeah, like this one, accurate for an introvert, prone to generalizations that describe facts but has false conclusion. I don't know about that one because I'm not sure if that's really about accurate. Although prone to generalizations, no, I guess that can be. But are all introverts prone to generalizations? No. But if you understand the word accurate that way, then that's actually extremely helpful. Aware for an extrovert is keenly aware of everything and everyone around her. That one's pretty good. So there's a whole list. I mean, I could definitely see this being something that in a future version of Dramatica that you could call upon just to have a better idea of how these different characteristics play out and maybe even use them. You could develop your own sort of archetypal version. So you're not just limited to the protagonist, antagonist. You could have, okay, well, I always feel like, actually, that would be really cool. I always feel like every villain has these elements, and I feel like every introvert has these elements, and you could actually create your own archetypal patterns and save them for all your different narratives. And you could tell it's this one of the posts that has a lot more likes than usual. And then it wasn't just one person. There were a couple people that actually supplied their own understandings of the elements to the different elements, like for thought, the Ditherer, the process of consideration illuminating every side of an issue. That's a great example. Speculation, conspiracy theorists, that one's pretty obvious. Order, a neat freak, that's really, really good. Chaos, chaotic good. Oh, now we're into Dungeons and Dragons. Chaotic good, chaotic neutral, chaotic evil. I always liked chaotic good, which probably says a lot about my work ethic. Evaluations, like they went through all these different ideas. And so I will leave a link to this, but you can just jump to discuss.dramatica.com, and it's probably up there at the top, called Additional Examples of Characteristics. And it just gives you a really good jumping off point if you're learning the elements and you want to create, you know, a new collection of characters. So you could create your own constellation of different character types and attribute different elements to them. And then it would be great in the future application if you could, you know, occasionally just jumble them up, like, all right, it'll show me something different, and you could get a whole new set of different character types. Next up, I have the analysis for this week. In the future, I will definitely be putting up the story forms a lot quicker than I'll actually be able to put the analysis, so that you'll be able to check them out and be able to cross-check them with other story forms and be able to, you know, get a better understanding of them. But for now, I will be writing that Bronx Tale analysis here fairly shortly. But it occurred to me, it popped into my head, and I'm not quite sure why, was a film that I saw at Sundance last year, which was called Ingrid Goes West. And this film stars Aubrey Plaza, I think. Isn't that her name? The girl from Community. And Elizabeth Olsen. And Ingrid is somebody who's obsessed with Instagram. So if you spend a considerable amount of time on Instagram, it's worth checking out. I thought it was funny. It was funny at the time. I think it got 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is always a good sign. It had a fully functional story form, which is always a good thing. And it's all about, you know, the kind of different facades that people put on when they are in social media. And I loved the juxtaposition between the main character issue and the influence character issue. The main character's issue is fantasy. So she lives in this complete fantasy world where she thinks, you know, the person that she follows on Instagram loves her and she's a part of her life. And she's, you know, basically all around psychotic. But in a comedic sort of fashion. And so her issue is fantasy, which is one of the issues under progress in universe. So there's fact, fantasy, security, and threat. And the corresponding influence character issue ends up being in worth. If you have the Dramatica table of story elements there, and the reason why certain influence characters work better with certain main characters is that their issue reflects the opposite perspective of the issue the main character is dealing with. So it may seem like they're completely random, like they have no place in the story, but really what they're doing is they're reflecting back the main character's issues, but from their point of view. So if the main character is dealing with some kind of external issue, then the influence character will be reflecting back that issue, but from an internal perspective. And that's what happens in Ingrid Goes West. Ingrid is a loner, outcast, and so she's caught up in this fantasy world. And then the influence character, which is Taylor, that's Elizabeth Olsen's character, luckily not doing that Russian accent thing from Avengers, is coming from a place of worth. Like, everything is the best. Like, this is, you know, greatest day ever, all that Instagram stuff, hashtag blessed, prayer hands, all that junk. That's all coming from an influence character issue of worth and the things that she feels are worthy of her attention and what she feels is like the very, very best of everything. That is where the influence character perspective, the challenging issue, is coming from in this story. And so when you look at that table of story elements, you'll notice that fantasy for the main character through line is in the lower right corner of progress. You know, so there's four issues. So you have upper left, upper right, lower left, lower right. And in just the same way that where the concern is in the through lines, so because progress is what Ingrid is dealing with in Ingrid Goes West, the upper right, that means the influence character challenge will be coming from preconscious, which is just the impulsivity and the reactions that she's able to bring out of people because of who she is. That is her influence character through line. Both those are in the upper right. Well, the same sort of correlation or the same sort of alignment appears with the issues, where if you look at where the location of the main character issue is, which is the lower right in fantasy, if you look to the lower right in preconscious, you'll find out where the influence character issue is, and that will give you worth. So hopefully, I hope that makes sense. So this is how I'm able to do Dramatica without the actual application, because there isn't a mobile version yet. You can look to see where the location of the concerns are, and they'll be in the same location relative to the quad. So if it's both are upper right, they'll be in both upper right. And the same correlation happens with the issues, so that if they're in the lower right, they will be in the lower right on the other side. So fantasy and worth, they work really, really well together. And that's why they're actually able to develop a relationship, because they're both approaching the same kind of problem, just from different points of view. And that's what brings them into the narrative. It's not just some completely random happenstance sort of thing. They actually flow and work together because they're dealing with the same sort of problem, just from different perspectives. And this is very much a dysfunctional comedy, so the overall story falls into psychology and same concern. So it's in the upper right for, you know, both main character and influence character. You'll find it in being, which everybody's trying to be something that they're not, which is exactly what Instagram is all about. And then, of course, the relationship that develops between the two of them, between the Instagram star and her obsessed superfan, is one of doing all the different things that they do together to sort of grow closer and become friends. So if you haven't seen it, make sure you check it out. It's called Ingrid Goes West. I believe it's on iTunes right now. And when you are finished, go check out the analysis on Narrative First and see where the story form lines up. Lastly, I want to talk about how to outline your story with the plot sequence report. If you look at Armando's book, Dramatica for Screenwriters, there's a great chapter at the end that everybody's been using for years and years where he describes a method by which you can use the plot sequence report to outline your entire story. Now, the cool thing about this, the part that he added that I feel was a great contribution, was the idea that whenever there is a set of sequences that are in a diagonal alignment, you kind of combine them together into the same sequence. So if you have something like approach, you know, if it says signpost one is becoming in terms of approach, self-interest, morality, and attitude, if you look on the chart, that moves in a Z pattern where approach and attitude are the beginning and the end, and they're at opposite sides. And then self-interest and morality, they move across in a diagonal arrangement. So what you would do is break up that signpost into three movements where you have attitude is the first sequence, self-interest to morality would be the second sequence, and then attitude would be your third sequence. And by doing that, you develop a rhythm for your story's particular narrative. Now, not a lot of sequences will end up being in that Z pattern. A lot of them are untouched by the actual story form, so it'll just go, you know, it'll be fate, prediction to interdiction, and then destiny. That's like one movement for that particular signpost, and that's another Z pattern. Sometimes they get flopped, where you might have like approach to attitude and then self-interest to morality. And then you will only have two sequences within that signpost. And that's great because, as Armando mentioned, it messes up the rhythm of it, so it's not so predictable, and it feels more natural in the fact that it's not this mechanical, always the same thing over and over again. It's different, but it's different not just because you're being completely random. It's different because the actual dynamics of the story require it to be different. Now, I know in some links, in some comments, Chris Huntley has mentioned, he's one of the co-creators of Dramatica, that the order that appears in the plot sequence report doesn't matter. That, you know, when you get down that low, as long as you deal with those different sequences, it probably doesn't matter the exact order that they appear in. So I'm sure he's right, since he's pretty much right about a lot of these sort of things. But when you follow that actual rhythm, I found it to be tremendously helpful in that you're in the same way that with the signposts, how you get some kind of meaning. It feels, you know, like a particular order of signposts for the overall story will feel more like a success than a different order will feel for a failure. You know, the story point of story outcome will rearrange the order of signposts based on the meaning of the story. And I feel like that carries down into the sequences. Chris's thought is that as you get further and further away from objective reality, that the subjective nature of the plot sequence report is such that it might not be completely accurate, which is another reason why they haven't released anything below the sequence report, because that could be really, really so far removed that it doesn't work out at all, although it'd be really cool to see. But for me, my experience, having done this for a couple of years now, is that order of the sequencing actually works great. And that if you can kind of keep yourself to that, at least in the beginning, I think it's good just so you can develop an understanding of how the different sequences work. Now, when it comes to Dramatica, you know, the different levels they have, acts, well, okay, no, they don't. They're broken down into signposts, those are the types, and then the sequences, those are part of the issues. And then the scenes themselves are the elements. So we don't have actual reports for the scenes. Like that's the part that's not actually in there. I know that there is a way to figure that out, and you could go in and actually figure out, you know, what lines of dialogue should be read in what order and what character interactions should happen in each and every sequence. But when it comes to the sequence report, don't think of them so much as your classic sequences, because a lot of people get tied up in the nomenclature of sequence. It's like, well, am I writing a sequence or am I writing a scene? What I prefer to think of them is more like story beats. So when you develop a screenplay for a feature, at least some of the animated features that I've developed, you usually come up with between 28 to 32, 33 story beats. And that breaks down to approximately 8 story beats per signpost. So I'm not talking about acts, because I will use acts in the documents that I actually present to people, but I use them, I either use the 3-act structure, if that's what the person is most comfortable with, or I give them the truth of it based on the overall story signposts. And then beneath that, which I will get to how I do that in a second, beneath that, when it comes to the individual story beats, sometimes those are signposts and sometimes those are sequences. And what I found is not to get caught up so much in a strict interpretation of, okay, this is a sequence, so it must be a sequence, and think more of what serves the story best. Does it serve it best to think of this as a series of scenes, and that would be a sequence? Or is it something that would be best to just think of as a singular signpost? And as you go through, it's interesting, you'll find out that signposts in the beginning, like 1, 2, and a bit of 3, will be very separate. It's like if you have the 4 strands of the 4 through lines and they're different color-coded, you'll be able to tell the difference between the different colors because they'll be very separated. You'll have some overall story stuff, and then you might work in an influence character, and then a main character, and then some relationship story, and then some more overall story. But as you get towards the end of the third signpost, and particularly the last signpost, everything gets woven together to the point where all the issues and all the through lines are so tightly woven in a particular story beat, you might have the signpost for the influence character, a signpost for the main character, and maybe a sequence from the relationship story, maybe 2 sequences from the overall story, all within one story beat. And it gets to a point where at the end, everything happens so fast because you've established all the potential with all the other scenes, all the other through lines, sorry. You've established all the potential for that. It just all has to play out in one big, like, ending. Like, it just all comes together. And that's where I've mentioned, like, for Star Wars, the trench scene has all 4 through lines all played out at once. And that, I feel like that's a natural thing that occurs in narrative. Like, it just, at the very end of the narrative, everything just wraps up really quickly because you've already set up everything prior. So when it comes to breaking down the individual signposts, well, okay, so the first approach, what I like to do is I like to look at the overall story signpost order and determine whether or not it's a 2-act, 3-act, or 4-act structure. So if it is in that typical Z pattern that I talked about before, that would be a 3-act structure. Because whenever you're moving diagonally from one signpost to the other, it'll feel more like a slide. It'll feel more like one continuous journey, as opposed to moving either horizontally or vertically. That's when you get the actual act breaks, and that's when you get a 3-act structure. Most of them, though, turn out to be 2-act structures, where you have a hairpin, where there's maybe past to the present and then future to progress, or understanding to learning and then doing to obtaining. That's a really popular one. And so what I'll do is in the document that I'm working in, I'll actually break that into 2 separate acts. I'll just say act 1 is going to be all about understanding to learning, and act 2 is going to be all about doing to obtaining. And hopefully the writer goes along with that, unless they're so predisposed to traditional 3-act structure, I kind of have to mess with it. But usually usually the writer actually wants to learn how it all works out, and then depending on who you have to present it to, agents or other people, producers who are used to just a typical 3-act structure, you can just kind of fake it after that and make up where the different act breaks are using the signposts. But I like the idea of thinking of it, you know, especially if it's in this order from understanding to learning to doing to obtaining, because then you get an idea of what the actual thematic movements are, and it separates the narrative into 2 distinct areas because that's what it's actually calling for. And I use the overall story through line because typically I do a lot of work with, well, actually, no, I do a lot of work with novels too, but most people are focused on the overall story. And I like to use that as kind of the framework for what it is that you're actually developing, and everything else hangs off of it. Don't necessarily have to do that. I worked on one film where the writer was really into the relationship story through line. He wanted that to be the key thing. And so I used actually the relationship story through line in lieu of the overall story to develop what it would actually feel like. It became very touchy-feely, which is great, you know, because that's what he was going for. The relationship between the brother and the sister was what he thought was the most important part of the story. It became very emotional, and it was great. And then just use the overall story through line to kind of balance that out in the way that I would usually use the relationship story to balance out the overall story through line. So with that in mind, once you figure out where the acts are for the overall story through line, then you go through and you arrange the sequences of the overall story through line to start developing out your story beats. So if understanding is in terms of state of being, situation, circumstances, sense of self, there you have three sequences for the first signpost. And I would actually break them down into three different story beats. So I would have the first story beat would be about state of being. And then there would be a second story beat that would be all about situation to circumstances. And then there would be a third story beat that would be about sense of self. And already I have three there. Now, sometimes the story driver will become a part of that first sequence. So for the overall story through line, you're kicking off the story, right? That's where it begins, and usually that's where you find the first story driver. So if the first signpost is understanding in terms of state of being, I also attach the first story driver to that, and something about state of being is going to come up through that story driver. Same thing with the end of the sequence. Whatever ends up happening at the end, I either attach it to, at the end of the signpost, I either attach it to that last sequence that came prior, so maybe it's a part of that sense of self sequence, or I attach it to the next sequence, which maybe, let's see, understanding learning, so maybe it's going to be, permission. Maybe the next one is permission. So then permission will be part of the story driver because that's the sequence of the first sequence of the second signpost. So right there, you have three story beats, just thinking of the overall story. And maybe sometimes occasionally that story driver will be its own sort of scene. So let's say we have story driver. Let's say we have the story driver is at the very end of that signpost. And then we have the three sequences and the first story driver is attached to that. So right there, we've got four story beats. Okay, and typically there are eight per act or eight per signpost. So then what I do is I grab the main character through line, signpost one, and I make that a story beat. And I deal with all their personal issues. Usually they're off doing their own thing and, you know, I set up the potential for what's going to happen with that main character. And then I will, the typical order, I mean, this is the typical order. It's not always this way, but maybe the first sequence of the overall story starts out, you know, state of being, and then you'll move to the main character signpost. So you can see there, the overall story is a sequence, but it's treated as a story beat. And then the main character signpost, which is a huge version of it, is another story beat. So on the page, they look like they're of equal weight, but really in the narrative, they're at different resolutions. And that's fully, fully okay. And then I might go back to the second sequence of the overall story, and maybe even play out the third sequence. And then I might throw in the influence character signpost one, and that's a separate story beat. And then I will address the relationship story signpost. So right there you have one, two, three for the overall story sequence, and then you have the three, four main character, influence character, and relationship story signposts. And then maybe you have another one for the story driver itself, and that's seven. So that is how you can develop out using the plot sequence. Instead of using the combination, the 28 magic scenes that are referred to in the theory book, which aren't entirely accurate, now you're actually using the particular sequence for your story, for your particular narrative, to figure out the unique narrative structure of your story. Now, you don't necessarily have to go in that order. It's just a nice rhythm that goes in there. And let's say, you know, that's only seven. Maybe you needed to make this a little longer. In some signposts, like I mentioned before, the overall story sequences, there are only going to be two of them, right? So then you're going to have another one to keep up that rhythm. It's nice if you can keep up the rhythm of either seven or eight. A consistent amount of story beats per signpost, so that, you know, the narrative develops its own rhythm. So after about the first, actually probably about after the second signpost, the reader or viewer understands how long each signpost is going to be. And so if you have one of those overall story signposts where there's just two sequences, what you can do is then go into the main character's plot sequence. You know, I particularly avoided it in that first signpost because I don't want to deal with it. There's enough information there, especially if you're doing a screenplay. There's enough information with just the sequences from the overall story and then the three signposts from main character, influence character, and relationship story that you have way more than enough that you need to tell your story. Even in a novel, I think that's way more than you need. And then you can develop more. But if you have one of these situations where there's only two overall story sequences, what you can do is then go into the main character's plot sequence report and kind of extract from there and find information that belongs in there. You can even use the sequences that are in that main character signpost to kind of help you understand what should be going on in that single signpost for that single story beat. I mean, it would be a lot to get through, you know, a particular sequence order of like truth, evidence, suspicion, and falsehood. It would be a lot to get through all that in just one signpost scene. It seems kind of rushed, but you can certainly use it if you're feeling like you're stuck or you're lost and you're not sure. Or you could write it and then look back and go, oh, wow, I have evidence, suspicion, and falsehood, but I don't have truth. I'm missing that truth bit. How can I work that in there? How can I set up the potential? And what it's does is it just enlivens and broadens the narrative scope of the signpost, the scene that you're working on. It makes it fuller and makes it grander and just gives it more narrative juice. And that's how you use Dramatica to kind of brainstorm greater and more comprehensive understandings of your story, of what it is that you're actually putting out there. So I'll continue that through all four signposts. So the same sort of order. Now, you know, when it gets to the second signpost, I won't mimic the same exact order that I did in the first one. Maybe I'll start out with some main character things as they're dealing with what happened after the story driver, and then I'll throw in a relationship story, and then I'll do the influence character, or maybe I'll do a couple overall story stuff and sequences, and then come back to the influence character at the end, and then that will bring about the midpoint or whatever sort of story driver happens there. And you do that for the first, second, third, and then, like I said, that fourth signpost, you're going to have story beats where you are dealing out influence character signpost, relationship story signpost, couple overall story sequences, maybe a couple main character story sequences, all in the same story beat. And you'll find by the end of it, you come up pretty much around 30, 32. You'll develop like a natural rhythm of it. It doesn't have to be like an exact number. But, you know, if you have seven, maybe you'll just have 28 beats. If you have a rhythm of about eight, maybe you have 32. It doesn't have to be exact. Maybe you have seven, eight, eight, and seven, but it doesn't matter. Or you can end six. As long as you use the rhythm of the narrative and the amount of story beats within each signpost to help you understand whether or not you're coming up too short, like if you're rushing things. That to me is a good use of the amount of story beats that are happening in it. If you're just strictly following it, like I need to do this because Jim said so or because Dramatica is telling me so, I think that's a false, and people will feel that falseness out of it. It has to come from you just getting that rhythm of the story and getting it across. And maybe like it happened with somebody else I was working with where you just have way too much. You know, maybe it's like 7, 7, 7 and then 12, and then it's like, okay, this is why it feels like Lord of the Rings. This is why it's ending 500 times, because after that sixth or seventh, everybody's like, okay, it should be ending here. I've been brought up on this like rhythm of the narrative and it should be ending. Now does this keep going on and on? And actually they're just repeating the same things over and over again. How can we combine what they wanted to tell in those last three or four sequences or story beats? How can we tell that earlier within the actual signpost so that we're not repeating ourselves and kind of stretching it out and making it just kind of lag at the end? So that's how I use the plot sequence report when I work with writers as far as developing out their outline. It's exactly what I do with deliberate storytelling. I actually sit down, and once we figured out the story form, which I did with somebody yesterday, which was great. We figured out their story for them in like 45 minutes. It was surprising because at the beginning I had no idea. I was like, I'm not sure how I'm going to get a story out of this. And once they started to tell me what it is that he wanted to do with the story and what he wanted to say, it became really clear to me the dynamics and where the inequity was of the story and what he wanted to get across with his piece. And then we were able to come up with a story for him. And now it's like smooth sailing from here on, because now we just get to have the fun of developing out those different through lines. And then, of course, outlining it using the plot sequence, using the method that I spoke about here. If you have any questions about deliberate storytelling, or if you have any questions about how to apply the plot sequence report, how to use that plot sequence, that hidden special report in Dramatica to outline your story, or if there's anything that I said that maybe perhaps you need further confirmation on or further elaboration on, please write to me at narrativefirst.com/contact, and I will answer it on a future podcast. That's it for this week's podcast. If you have any questions, like I said, please write to me at narrativefirst.com/contact. If you're interested in deliberate storytelling, you can always go to narrativefirst.com/deliberate storytelling and read about the kind of services that I offer that can help you get your story up off the ground. Have a great week of writing, and I'll see you next time.